Good morning, everybody. excuse me. We are talking this morning about evangelism, and if we could have the presentation up, I've called it Spilling Your Beans. I hope nobody has an aversion to baked beans. So evangelism, what is it? Well, it's an act, quite simply, of speaking out and sharing the good news of what Jesus has done for us. It's about announcing that good news or communicating it to other people. Now, in the early church, the apostles and preachers would stand in public places and shout the Greek word for evangelism, which I think is pronounced euangelion. Is that right, those that know? Euangelion. And they would shout this at the top of their voices, and people would gather around. And basically, they were saying, there's good news! There's good news! And people would run up and say, what? And they'd stand and they'd listen to this good news. And that's a nice picture, I think, of what evangelism is. It's us basically telling the world about this good news. Now, when I was praying about this talk, this image did pop into my mind, and I tend to think that if you are praying and asking God to speak, the first image that comes into your mind is the voice of God. So there we are. Why spilling your beans? Well, I think because it's that simple picture, which I think is always helpful to us as simple beings, which is about getting what's on the inside out. Well, what are our beans then in this analogy? Well, what do we have on the inside of us, do we feel, that needs to come out? I think these are the riches that we have on the inside of us because we know Jesus. That little verse, Ephesians 1 verse 18, talks about the riches of God's inheritance. So here's a challenge to you to shout out, what are, do you think, one word answers, what are some of the riches of God's inheritance that we have? Anybody shout out?
Healing.
Salvation.
Victory.
His love for us.
Friendship with Jesus.
Forgiveness. The Holy Spirit.
Heart for others.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, there's power and wisdom. And so we could go on, couldn't we? It's not hard, really, is it, when you think about all the things that make us different from others because of what Jesus has done for us. Other things, peace, sense of security, hope, a sense of being adopted, broken chains we were talking about this morning. So many things. Sometimes we act like this is top secret information. Put your hand up if you sometimes do feel a little bit shy about sharing your faith with other people. Anyone? I think probably we all do sometimes, don't we? I realise that's ironic, asking you to put up your hand if you're shy. But yeah, I think a lot of us do feel a little bit nervous about sharing our faith with others. It's very common. And sometimes I think it can feel to other people and maybe to ourselves like we are a sealed up can. But I don't know why, because it's not a big secret, is it? And it's nothing to be ashamed of, is it? It's good news. And I think people really do actually want to hear it more than we realise. So perhaps it is time to spill. Now, there are a few things that God has laid on my heart to talk about this morning to do with this. I think I've been on a journey myself in this whole area the last few years. As most of you know, we came from Oxford about 6 years ago. And I had an interesting time in Oxford, somewhere between university, where I find it really easy to talk about my faith, and during the period we had living in Oxford, I became, I think, like a sealed-up can. And I think it's because a lot of the friends that I had at the time that didn't know Jesus were quite intellectual and thought they knew better, perhaps, and just weren't at all interested when I started to talk about my faith. And it made me lose a bit of confidence, I think. And then we moved to Towyn, and that released something in me, perhaps just the fact that it was a fresh start. And I started praying for opportunities, and I don't know why, but I was really surprised when they started to happen. And as I started sharing about my faith, I actually found people to be really open And over the last couple of years, I've had the privilege of leading 9 women to the Lord here who aren't churched at all, and 2, in fact, this last month, and lots of whom Crispin and I now have the privilege of discipling and pastoring. Now, I don't know if I'm a natural evangelist. I actually don't think that term is very helpful. It's not something that I always find easy, even now. It's just, I think, that a little bit of success breeds more success, and you kind of get on a roll with it. I don't think it's anything more complex than that. So what I wanted to do was share some of those experiences with you, not as a big evangelist at all, but just as an everyday person, like most of us are, I think, and to share a few specific things that I think God has laid on my heart for this body in this area, which I do think as well are in line with the new vision that James was talking about last week. So to start with, really, an exhortation that the calling to evangelize to others is for all of us. You don't need to be like me. Please don't be like me. You need to be like you. We are all different varieties. And why is that? Well, it's because all the people out there are different varieties too. How do you communicate? What makes you tick? Well, I guarantee that there are other people out there who tick like you do. And I think it's important that we are true to the flavour that we are so that we can respond and relate to people who are similar flavours to us out there. Now, this is a bit unfair because he's not here this morning, but the person that sprung to my mind when I was thinking about this was Ian Dodds, because last week at church, he had a very exciting conversation with Crispin about electrics, and they were having a lovely time. And he was so passionate about electrics, and I just think that's brilliant because there are people out there who love electrics. And he is just the right person to talk to them. And that must be true for each and every one of us. And so we're all needed. Now, Jesus tells us all to go. The Great Commission is for all of us. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And there are so many verses in the Bible about this, aren't there? For example, you are the light of the world. So we're lights that shouldn't be hidden. We're all called to share our faith. Now, I put this out here this morning. There is somewhat, I think, of a misunderstanding about the role of an evangelist. Ephesians 4, verse 11 says, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Now, this is interesting because evangelism here appears in this list of offices within the church, the office of evangelism, the purpose of which are all to build up the body of Christ. So how can this be if you're an evangelist? How do you build up the body of Christ? Well, I suggest that a true evangelist does what I'm doing now, which is encouraging and equipping the body of Christ to go out there and reach others, not to do it all by yourself. Now, we're all called in this way to go out. And can I just emphasise that it is a going out, not a bringing in? That might happen, but it's a going out that we're called to. Something that should be woven into our everyday lives. Now, I wanted to share with you a model. It's a really simple model, but one that I've found really useful. It's being shared in some of the Salt and Light churches at the moment, and one that I think about quite a lot, so I wanted to share it. Now, the underlying principle of this model is that we're intentional about some, if not all, of our relationships. And I really find this to be true. If I'm not intentional, then things don't seem to happen. So in this model, it's about how the kinds of relationships that we are in order to bring people to Christ. So first of all, we have acquaintances. You cast the net wide. You then have some of these people who become friends. Of those, you identify and spend more time with them who are people of peace. And of some of those, you'll journey with them towards salvation. And some of those that are saved will become disciples. And some of those, again, will become disciple makers themselves. So I wanted to just break that down a bit and explain to you what I take some of that to mean. Well, we start, of course, with acquaintances. And that's where we can cast the net really wide. So I challenge you this morning, is it time for you to get to know some new people? Maybe you know too many, but is it time for some of us to get to know some new people? There are seasons where it might be time for us to cast the net again. I'm in one of those seasons at the moment. I'm a breastfeeding counsellor and I support women to breastfeed locally in Tawyn. And as part of that, I run a breastfeeding support group. I really, really love doing this. I find it really rewarding. But it's also a really good way of meeting new women in the community. What gifts or interests or skills do you have that you could use to cast the net? Now, some of those people become friends. I really like this picture because it looks fun. Now, I don't think I could do that. I don't know how many of you could do that. But anyway, it's fun. Friendship should be fun. I'm really challenged by my kids in this area because Anae and Owen really love their friends. They relish their friends and they seem to have such a great time with their friends. Just, it's never a hardship. Owen's little friend came over recently, a couple of weeks ago, and he didn't sleep apparently for 3 nights because he was so excited about coming to our house to play with Owen. I mean, they just love each other, little kids. And I think we can take something from that. Spending time with our friends should make us feel good, shouldn't it? So it's not always a mission, it should be fun too. What do you like doing? Well, take people along with you and do it together. Now, you might say that you're not a people person, but you are a person, which makes you an expert on people. So whether you're an extrovert or an introvert, it's okay to have fun with other people. It's not supposed to be painful. For myself, I love food. I'm a nutritionist and I love to cook. So I like nothing more than cooking and sharing food with people. But that's me. What about you? What do you love doing? And gather people along with you who have the same interests and like doing what you do. Now back to the model. So here we have something interesting. Some of those people that are our friends, we can identify to be people of peace. Now, it's hard to explain really what this means. It's just something you might already know what that means immediately, and I think perhaps it's something that you sort of feel rather than can explain. But I think it's something about an openness that some people have more than others to thinking on a spiritual level. So you might feel a kind of connection with people. You might feel just that they are more open than others. They might seem more ready. Look out for those kinds of signs when you're talking to people about your faith. Or just pray and ask people to put those people more on your heart than others. And it's those that you can pursue deeper friendship with. And from here, some of those people of peace, you may begin, or you can pray that you can start journeying with in a more intentional way. Now, that refers to those with whom you are sharing about God and who have tipped over into wanting to find out more about God for themselves. Now, it might look like this in practical terms. You make connections with people who are your friends, you share life together, perhaps in a more timely way with people of peace, and you go through the step-by-step journey of exploring faith with people towards salvation. That step-by-step phrase, I think, is quite interesting. Now, when you get to that stage of journeying with people, that step-by-step process, I think it's when these kinds of things become really useful, like Alpha or Christianity Explored. Crispin and I have found the Question course really useful. Has anyone heard of it? I don't think it's used that much now, but we use it. It was put together a few years ago by the Baptist Church in Wales, Baptist Union in Wales. And it's great. It's Welsh. There's one in Welsh and one in English. And it starts a bit further back from the Alpha course. Do you think God exists? It starts from there, really, which I find to be really useful with people. Now, if you're not the kind of person that would feel courageous enough to run a course like this, there are others in this church who love to do that. You know, Pete and Jess and Simon and many others feel they would love to do things like this. And that's where we can kind of work together, perhaps. And if you've got someone who's ready, perhaps it's time to talk to others in the church. And, you know, sometimes it's not a course, it's just a simple Bible study with people that works. But something about a step-by-step process can be really useful at this stage. And then, of course, we have disciples, who are those who've given their lives to the Lord. Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20 says, we're called to baptize these people and then to teach them to obey the Lord. Last summer, we had the privilege of baptizing four women in the sea, and it was so exciting and fun. It was a horrible day, rain and wind inevitable, but it was marvelous. It was a joyous thing to be part of. And then, of course, some of those become disciple makers. I'd say in our group that we most definitely have one of those. And some of those that we're journeying with now and getting to know have come through her. She seems to go through this process very easily and with confidence, which is just a joy to see. Now, note that the further you go into this model, in my experience, the more time you'll spend with people. But also, in all likelihood, there'll be less people at every stage. It does take time, it's costly, but it's so rewarding and so edifying. You might say, well, I'm a person of the word, but actually there's no greater way than to use the word than this, and it builds you up in a way that nothing else does. Now, a few principles that I want to share of things that I think God wants to say to us as a body specifically this morning. First of all, it's an obvious thing to say, but it's not about numbers, it's about love. And this really is the foundation, and it's just genuinely loving people. Mark 12, 31 says, love your neighbour as yourself. And Romans 5, verse 8 says, whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We don't need to be lovable, do we, for Christ to love us? So we don't need others to be lovable before we love them. And Luke 15, such a challenge, the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the prodigal son, the parable of the lost sheep. Such amazing pictures of how God loves people furiously and relentlessly until they are his. No greater challenge to us, I don't think, in how we should love people. And also, seeing the best in people. Seeing not what they are now, but what they could become. Their potential. And I think it's important to always have a vision for people that's beyond where they already are. See beyond people's failings and their fragility, because that's, again, what God does for us. Now, I've found that people really want to be with me if they know I love them and if they know I see the best in them. People don't respond very well if you see their faults and what they can do better. Now, I challenge us as a body to be the kind of people that tells people how great they are. One person I was reaching several years ago came to me once in tears, and she just said, but you always see the best in me, and you always say nice things about me. It was such an emotional moment, and she then went on to come to know the Lord. And I just thought, gosh, yeah, you know, that is really important. Of all the things, that's what's touched her. Be an encourager. Tell people that they are great. And I think this is something that a lot of people here are really good at, but go the extra mile for people. I have a rule with myself these days, and that is, if there's a choice to be made between doing something for somebody and not doing something for somebody, then just autopilot, do it. Just do the thing for somebody. It might be a small choice, like, for example, recently I was in a card shop and I had Zach down here moaning and wanting to go, and I was trying to choose cards for different people, and I thought, well, I could choose a welcome into your new home card for that person. Oh, I haven't got time. I was like, no, do it. It's worth it, because that'll mean something to her. Zach can moan for a minute. I'll get that card. You have to autopilot yourself. Those myriads of choices that we have, choose to love others. And just another thing that I've really learned more recently, really over the last couple of years, is that it's really easy to get offended along the way. Can anyone relate to that? Because people really let you down. Now, those who know me well might smile at this point because you know probably where I get let down. And that is that some of the women that I'm called to reach do lead quite crazy lives. And so coming to a meeting on time or coming at all is sometimes a struggle. And there have been so many times when I've made food and one person has showed up rather than the eight I was expecting, or even nobody's shown up, or the one person that's shown up has eaten. And you know, I'm tired and I've got other things I could be doing with my time. And sometimes it doesn't feel that fun, but it's really important to let that go. How many times should we forgive others? What does it say in the Bible? Is it seven times? No, it's how many? 77 times. Limitless. Just right, exactly. And more. Infinite. We keep forgiving. And again, that's a pre-choice that you make. I won't get offended. Why? Because it's not actually about me. It's about Jesus. Don't get in the way of what he's doing. Let it go, move on and move on. Choose to get over it. And I've learned to choose to trust God. Sometimes I might have a house full of people, sometimes I might not, but I trust that God's got those people covered wherever they are, whatever they're doing, he's bigger. And then the next fundamental, which I can't state enough, one that we all know to be true, is prayer. The ex-Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, famously said, "When I pray, coincidences happen, and when I don't, they don't." How true is that? Now, get practical on this one. I find a list helps, or with all the things I've got to do in a day, it just doesn't happen. So I put a list in front of the mirror where I get ready in the mornings. And I also pray for people when I go past where they live or where they work, and I find that to be really powerful. And genuinely, things happen when I pray and things don't happen when I don't. It's really simple. And get others to pray along with you. Also, fasting is really, really useful. And I don't know why, I don't know if anyone else knows why, but when you fast, breakthroughs happen. Has anyone found that to be? When you fast, breakthrough happens. So just bear that in mind too. And this is a nice reminder, isn't it? And I think it's God keeping us on our toes to remind us it's not about us. I don't make it happen. You don't make it happen. He does. When we take it back for ourselves, our evangelism truly loses its shine and doesn't mean that much. It belongs to the Lord. Now, back to our model again. I've noticed that in this body of believers, there are some things here that we're really good at, like really good at, for a pretty small church. I think that as a church, we have a lot of friends in the community. Considering we're fairly small in number, I think as a church, our reach goes quite a long way. Would anyone else agree with that? And I think it's because week in, week out, there are faithful people among us who are continually doing things with people in the community, flower arranging, toddlers, and countless other things. I mean, look at how many people came to the children's Christmas party. It's astounding for a small church. And we're probably also quite good, I think, at coming alongside people of peace as well. But I do wonder how good we are at taking those conversations on into journeying with people and then seeing them born again. And I think this is where the spilling our beans things comes in. So we need, I think, to get used to talking to people about God, being honest and open, sharing what you're really thinking, sharing what God's doing in your life, and getting used to talking about him. And here's an important one in all of this, more important than we realise, and I think it's avoiding the jargon. Now, we need to talk in an everyday way to people so that people can understand. And we can see ourselves as translators, as it were, translating what happens in here to other people on the outside in a language that they can understand. And sometimes, in all honesty, translating things back. So, for example, rather than asking Jesus into your heart, making a connection with God. Or have a look at the New Testament scriptures. People might actually understand that better if you said something like, the part of the Bible that was written about Jesus' life and what happened next. Or being filled with the Holy Spirit, getting God on the inside of you. Or a quiet time. I have a morning quiet time. How confusing for people. How about connecting with God every day? Or prayer. How about talking to God? You know, really making things very simple. And when I said translating things back the other way, sometimes when people make that connection with God, particularly if they're not, they're unchurched, which many people are, they might talk in a language that for us might seem alarming. I've had women say things, hilarious things, like a year into being saved, like, yeah, because, you know, I just get so much energy from a leaf. And I'm thinking, oh my days, I thought they were saved. And I think, no. What they're actually trying to say is, creation really inspires me. And we go over that and we talk that through, you know. And actually, it doesn't in any way mean they're not connected to God. It means that they've not got used to the lingo. So it's not being frightened of language and adapting ourselves so that we can relate to people and they can relate to us. Now, it's sometimes, I think, good to have an opening to start a conversation. And the thing I always find is a great way to start a conversation is a question. Because a question can come out of nowhere. And it doesn't have to feel unnatural. So here are some examples of questions. Do you believe in God? Or one that I used yesterday with a friend on the beach. I just said, also, do you have a faith? Completely out of the blue. She's like, oh, actually, I think I do, yeah. We just sort of start chatting. And some of you may be experts of this already. Forgive me if I'm preaching to you and you know better than me how to do this, I'm sure. But others of you, sometimes you can think a question, if you have it in your mind ready, it's easier just to pop it out. Do you pray? And sometimes when people share about hard things going on in their life, you know, a loved one who is sick or someone who's passed away, do you think there's more to life than this? What do you think happens when we die? Simple questions. Now, it's okay to feel scared at this point. And I confess that I almost always do. I go a bit like, hot and cold and a bit, oh, I don't want to do it. Especially if they're a friend and there's something in me that thinks, I don't want to put them off me. But, you know, it's okay to feel scared. And I think we need to know that it's normal to feel scared. And it doesn't mean that we have to retreat. But just think, I feel scared, but I'm going to do it anyway. And then be prepared to offer out truth with confidence. And that might, you know, you've got the truth on the inside of you. You know what to say. The Bible says, the Bible talks about, I believe, Christians believe, I've come to realise. You know, just talk. So this is some of the stuff that Jesus said. I found this to make a dramatic difference in my life. Who can dispute that? You're talking about your life. You know, talk in those terms and people won't reject you. They truly won't. It's just that they'll be interested to hear your experience and what's on your heart. And be ready to bring people over the line. And that can happen quicker than you think. Last month, I prayed with somebody to accept Jesus into her life. And she, in the two sentences before, was talking about how she wondered if there was a reincarnation, whether reincarnation existed. And I was thinking in that moment, gosh, she's not ready at all. And then literally about 20 seconds later, I thought, well, I'll ask her anyway. And I did. And she said, well, yeah, I'd love to do that. And my goodness, she's connected with God. And weeks later, she's praying out loud and she's right there with the Lord, you know. So sometimes it's good to see through what people are saying and sometimes just ask them, would you like to know, would you like to connect with God right here, right now, today? I have a little card in my wallet that I use, that I have as a prompt for myself, because sometimes in that moment I forget everything I should say to bring someone to know the Lord. At the back of most study Bibles, you've noticed there's a little thing about how to lead people to the Lord. Sometimes it can be useful to copy that out and have it ready in your back pocket or have it ready in your wallet to pop out for those times. Now, have any of you heard of the turning? Have any of you heard about what's going on in parts of the country at the moment, the turning? Well, it's really exciting. About a year ago, but less than a year ago, there's a church in Reading called the Gate Church. And God put on the pastor's heart that they should just go out and ask people in the streets if they'd like to know Jesus, kind of old school style. And they decided to give that a go. So they had some prayer and some worship. And they were really surprised, more than anyone else, when within 3 weeks, 1,200 people on the streets of Reading gave their lives to the Lord. It was quite remarkable. And what's happening now is they're repeating that process and partnering with lots of other churches and lots of other places around the country and even into Europe and going onto the streets and just talking to people about Jesus and asking if they'd like to make a connection with him. And hundreds every time of people are being saved. Now, friends of mine and Crispin's, who are church planters in Paris, joined up with one of those teams and went onto the streets in Lille in the north of France to do this. And they were really nervous about it and they were just like, we'll just go and have a go, we'll just see what happens. And though lots of people did give their lives to the Lord that week, they didn't actually pray with anybody who was at all interested and they were quite discouraged. They then went back to Paris where they live and they chatted about it. And they said to each other, there's people that we've been trying to reach for years in this place, but we've never actually asked them if they want to connect with the Lord. And so they decided to go around some of these friends and ask them if they'd like to know Jesus. Well, within 4 days, six of their friends had given their lives to the Lord. They just said, I'm really sorry, but I've never actually asked you if you want to know the Lord too. And they were like, well, yeah, okay. And it was that simple. And I just throw that out there as a challenge because it may be that God is saying to some of us, you've already got people who are ready. There isn't a long process that you have to go through here. Just ask them. So I put that out there to you as a challenge. Now, just as a final word on this, I am aware that some of us at certain times, and maybe today, might feel a bit like this, like our can is empty and there isn't anything to spill. Some of us may even feel a bit like this, a bit broken. And it is hard to share something that we don't feel is on the inside of us or that isn't working for us at the moment. Now, if this is you, then there's only one thing for it. Please excuse the pun. I couldn't help myself. Go back to the source. The cross, our Father, the Holy Spirit, we just need that face-to-face to be filled again. Now, if that is you, I'd like to, in a moment, pray for you. Now, others of us, we've got the beans on the inside of us, but we just need to spill them. And we just need God's help in releasing that in us in a way that God has uniquely designed us to do. Now, if any of those apply to you, then just as we end, I'd really like to have the opportunity to pray for you. So if you feel that perhaps you are this, or you need a bit of help with this, then I'd ask you just to stand up right now so that we can pray together. Okay, well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning for those here who feel empty, that, Lord, you would come by the power of your Holy Spirit and fill them. Lord, we pray for those who feel broken, that, God, you'd minister healing and freedom. And that, Lord, you would cause what's been broken to be made right and then bring a filling. For those who feel frightened, Lord, I pray for courage and boldness and ideas and certainty. Lord, I pray that you'll give us what we need to share what's on the inside with others. And we pray, Father, for those that we know in our community who don't yet know you, that, Lord, you would turn their hearts towards you. Lord, we ask that you will fill us up and send us out. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you all. Just to say, Pete has asked me to write some notes for home groups, some questions to talk about this week, and these are outside on the table if you want them. Thank you.